Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Aware Show Teleseminar Series. I am so excited about today's call, and I'm really grateful for all the people that are on the call right now, because the information that we're about to talk about today is literally, it is the healing of the future. This is how we'll look back on these types of conversations in 20 years and say, yeah, well, 20 years ago when this type of modality was talked about as being new, so remember when we had that conversation? I love that. So we're talking about, of course, some very, very groundbreaking science today. So start off by going to the website to look up what we're talking about, which is theawareshow.com/church. We're not talking about church. We're talking about Dawson Church and his work, the science that the scientific evidence that he has proven in many, many different ways. And basically, it's evidence that proves that you do not have to be a victim of your genes. You do not need to carry out the genetic code necessarily of your heart disease in the family, or breast cancer, or arthritis, or those types of things that are carried through the genes. They need to actually be turned on by the environment. And that is what we're talking about today. And Dawson Church is the perfect person to do it. He's the author of an amazing book, among many, called The Genie in Your Genes, Epigenetic Medicine and the New Biology of Intention. And he has authored several hundred double-blind, randomized clinical studies on the field of epigenetics and gene expression and energy psychology. Welcome to the show, Dawson. I'm so glad to have you on.
Lisa, it's always a thrill to talk to you.
Yeah, and it's perfect timing, because this is basically, we've had the Aware Show Teleseminar Series running for about 3 months, and everything comes down to what you're about to talk about, this new cell biology. And it's really kind of where the rubber hits the road, but because you've been doing the studies on it. And I got to read to you just a random email that came in right before the show from this wonderful lady, Sharon, in Oakdale, Sharon Morrow. And thank you, Sharon, by the way, for writing this. But she talks a little bit about Bruce Lipton's work and about Carolyn Mace's work. And she said that she healed herself from end-stage breast cancer, supported by the work that you're talking about today of epigenetics. She said she can vouch for the self-healing powers of the body, EFT, and energy medicine, and that these techniques are and will be the affordable, free, and available to anyone healing that we need in the future. And that is such an awesome email, just unsolicited, came right in before the call. And this is, it gives me chills to even say that.
I love hearing stories like that.
I'm sure you hear them all the time.
You know, I do. I was in teaching in Paris a couple months ago, and I teach in Europe every year. And there was a lady in the front row, and she said, I had terminal breast cancer, and I work in the hospital industry. I chose not to go the conventional medical route. I used EFT instead, and it's been 2 years, and I'm cancer-free. So
wow.
It's remarkable to hear these stories of people being healed of all kinds of diseases that just resolve some of the underlying emotional material that so stresses their bodies. And it's not, you know, it seems miraculous, it seems odd in a way, but we are so affected by stress. It is just it is shifting all kinds of genes in our bodies, including those responsible for cancer. So I am such a really real advocate of whatever stress you have in your life, minimize it. Just go take care of your childhood stuff and live a stress-free life, because it really can affect your health in many ways.
Well, we're going to talk about that in detail today. I really want to get into details of what exactly stress does to the body. I want to talk about the effects of cortisol and how it changes the proteins and the DNA change in the strand. I want to get into that. I really want you to give us the science today. But I just want to mention to the listeners, there's the book that Dawson is really so well known for, and it's just an incredible book, The Genie in Your Genes. There's an opening story in that, and the opening story talks about exactly what we heard from Sharon before the show, a woman who came up in one of Dawson's lectures completely not believing in anything that he's talking about and said, if you can heal me, try, but otherwise I'll just go sit down. And the healing that she received just through some simple techniques that Dawson used, some EFT and just basic emotional energy release techniques, the woman was able to move an arm that had not been able to be moved for I don't know how many years. I mean, it's just amazing. So let's talk about stress and what effects stress and cortisol have on the body.
Well, stress is really a two-edged sword. It's mental and it's physical, because when we, for example, have to evade danger, that's an appropriate stress response. If the fire alarm goes off in the building, you have to run for the exits. If you, of course, this response evolved in our ancestors because they had to evade predators, they had to seek opportunities, they had to be on the lookout for hostile tribes, poisonous plants, and all kinds of reasons why we have the stress response. And so for millions of years, it's been engraved in our body to go into this state of fight or flight, of being ready to galvanize all of our energies instantly in response to a threat. And it worked great for our ancestors. It worked great for cats and dogs. It works really not to our advantage nowadays, because what we're doing often, there is no objective threat. There is no real, there's no predator, there's no tiger out there, there's no stampeding lion, there are no hostile tribes people attacking you.
Coming down the 405, they're not.
I know, right.
Like,
yeah, I checked carefully on the 405, there's not a single hostile tribes person, not a single spear was thrown. And so we've got this assessment machinery in our brains to assess threats and respond to them, and then drive our bodies into the stress response, and very few objective out there threats. But what we have got is we have worry, we have obsessive thoughts, negative thinking, and our bodies can't tell the difference. Our bodies can't tell that when we think about that business meeting that we are dreading, that colleague we hate, our teenage daughter or son, our wife, our parent who's going into Alzheimer's, our body can't tell that stressful, negative thought, upset thought, isn't a real problem for us. So it drives us into the stress response, and we become so used to being there, Lisa, that it becomes our normal states. We drive our adrenaline sky high, we drive our cortisol sky high, we go into this whole physiological stress response. And so it's not just a mental thing, it's a physical thing. And until you learn to curb that negative thinking, release the emotional charge behind those bad experiences you've had, you are just going to stay stuck in that place of both this physical hell and mental hell of being in high stress all the time.
Well, now, what does it do to, you gave such a great definition of this in one of the recordings that we've got in the special offer here, but you talked about how when the body goes into that fight or flight response, that the cortisol robs the amino acids from and precursors, basically, I'm not saying this correctly, but in the cells that are the building blocks, the proteins that build the DNA change. So you tell me how that works. I don't know if I paraphrased
yes.
that correctly.
No, you're pretty much on target. What happens is I'll break this down step by step. Okay, so you, for example, think about that presentation you have to make at work, and you're all afraid, you have presentation anxiety, you're worried about being in front of your colleagues. And so what that anticipation does, what that anxiety does, is it sends a signal to your body to make the neurochemicals and hormones responsible for the stress response. So that signal goes to your adrenal cortex, right above your kidneys, your adrenal gland. And your adrenal gland then makes adrenaline, makes cortisol. So that signal sends an impulse to the genes that have the code to build that big complex protein molecule of cortisol. And when that signal hits the adrenal medulla, then it unwraps those DNA strands, and you make cortisol. Now, making cortisol is bad. I have a list in the book somewhere of what the ill effects are over time of high cortisol, and they're just terrible. They're osteoporosis, skin aging, skin wrinkling, loss of muscle mass, inability to convert short-term to long-term memories. The list just goes on and on and on about how all the bad things high cortisol does to you.
When
but
you really link it to the aging, the rapid cellular aging, the fact that it takes out the skin, the elasticity in the skin, and really rapidly ages you.
It does, and it's even worse. Like that adder says, but wait, it gets worse. It gets worse because the two precursors used to build cortisol are pregnenolone and progesterone, and those two precursors are the same two precursors required to make our main cell repair hormone, which is DHEA. So when you have that stress response, when you're calling on the genes that code for cortisol to make lots of cortisol, lots of adrenaline, you're actually stripping out your pregnenolone and progesterone, which is required for cell repair. So it's like a balance scale. You're not only increasing the harmful hormones in your body, you're decreasing your most important cell repair hormone. So it just has pervasive bad effects on the body. And if you look at the photographs of people who have high stress, like I have a series in one of my articles for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. They had me write a story about this, one of their journals, and I have photographs of identical twins, people born with the same genome, so identical, that dealt the same pack of cards at birth, same DNA, that by the age of 30, 40, 50, their faces start to look very different. One might look 10 years older than the other, and it's all the effect of stress. If you take a map of their chromosomes, put them side by side, at the age of a year old, 2 years old, they're identical. But by the age of 15, 20, 25, 30, they begin to really diverge. By the age of 50, one can look old, worn, and haggard, and the other can look pretty youthful. So even though they have the same genes to begin with, their stress level has changed the levels of gene expression and produced big biological changes in their bodies.
Is it, well, were they raised in different environments? Was one raised in a more stressful environment? Is that why?
One of the case studies I show is of a woman who, by the age of 30, was biologically 10 years older than her sister. It was also 30. And she had a husband who was abusive. He had Huntington's disease, and he eventually died. And she began smoking. She became overweight. She was just captured by this negative energy she
wow.
was involved with. But when we measured this, the ends of chromosomes are called, they're these molecules called telomeres,
right.
And we measure those, and that tells us basically how fast a cell is aging. So they measured her telomeres and her sister's telomeres, and they found that even though chronologically they were exactly the same age, biologically they were 10 years apart. She had aged 10 years more than her sister in just 30 years.
Wow, because of the stress in
stress.
Her life and the negativity.
Yep.
That is amazing. Now, is it enough to just take, I mean, I do a lot of health shows, and I'm always being told, you know, take more B vitamins if you have a lot of stress, or take pregnenolone as precursor to cortisol, measure the telomeres, try to grow. Can you do all that? Does that really work?
I think it can have some effect, but I think that what is going into your head and what your thoughts and your feelings are far more influential. So, you know, by all means, you know, get proper medical care, get basic nutritional support. But what you're doing in your head, like I'll hook people up to a monitor that monitors the rate of what's called heart coherence, the heart math monitor.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get them to a nice green, relaxed state. Then I'll say, think a negative thought, and bam, they're in red right away. Just one negative thought can disrupt all of that. So, yeah, those supplements can help us, but our negative thinking is producing instantaneous and widespread results in our bodies. And I think that's a much bigger threat to our health than anything that,
It would be amazing to do that kind of study where you see that, you know, one, the control group is the positive, well, the new thought thinkers, and then the other group is the New Thought Thinkers with the vitamins, supplements, and things. I wonder if that would be interesting one day. Okay, let's fund another study.
Well, you know, if you look at research into, say optimists and pessimists, people who are optimists tend to live many years, in some studies up to 14 years longer than pessimists. People who are happy live longer than people who are unhappy. People who are depressed live shorter lives. People with PTSD live very short lives on the whole. People in unhappy marriages live shorter lives than people in happy ones. So there are just hundreds and hundreds of studies showing us that these states of consciousness, that these emotional states, the degree of stress, has a massive effect on longevity and health.
So also I heard something about belief in a loving God has greater health benefits than those who actually believe in a God-fearing way.
That was a real shocker. That study was done by Baylor University, where I did my undergraduate work. And the Baylor study found that people who believe in a punishing God have all kinds of health consequences, bad ones. Those who believe in a loving or benevolent God, so it's not whether you believe in God or not, it's whether you believe in a loving God or a punishing God. Those who believe in the punishing God had all kinds of bad health effects. Those who believe in a loving God had all kinds of good ones. So I always advocate, if you believe in God, make sure you tend toward the positive end of the spectrum.
It's very well put. When you really put something against studies like that, it just seems to make so much sense. Someone's asking if these studies that have been done are actually done like on the same routine basis as a pharmaceutical or nutritional study.
Good question. Yes. In fact, it was drug trials that gave us the basic model of the randomized controlled trial. And it was quite an innovation originally to apply that drug trial model to behavioral studies. So drug trials are hard science. And then we began to apply that to these behavioral sorts of interventions and do outcome studies. So we measure the outcomes. We measure patient outcomes. How healthy are they? How depressed are they? How anxious are they? And so we use that experimental design of the randomized controlled trial, applied it to psychological studies, and it is just amazing what the results are that we're getting with those. So yeah, they're published in medical journals, psychology journals. They're done with it according to rigorous clinical standards, and they're good science.
A lot of these studies are published in the book that you have, The Genie in Your Genes. Can you talk a little bit about that book and why or how you created it? How long did it take you to write that book?
A terribly long time.
It was
like following breadcrumbs, Lisa, because as I go to various conferences and hear people, I'd hear the biologists talking and the psychologists talking, energy psychology, energy medicine, but no one was putting it all together. And I sort of tried to paint a picture of how these all fit together. And I also was challenged by the fact that I had medical colleagues who said, well, you energy medicine people are doing lovely work, it feels so good, but there's no real science behind what you do. And
right.
I found that there is really good science behind this. So there are over 400 references in the book to all kinds of peer-reviewed studies. And as I traced those breadcrumbs, I was amazed how they paint this compelling picture of the effects of consciousness on matter. As we shift our awareness, our thoughts shift, our intentions shift, especially strong emotion. If you feel strong emotion about something, if you feel strong emotion about a positive thought or a positive experience or a positive person, you have a whole host of beneficial changes. One HeartMath study found that your immune system gets a boost for 7 hours if you do 5 minutes of what they call heart coherence, this basic relaxed state. So
wow.
I put all that into this book and try to explain how these things all relate, because it's quite hard to figure out when you hear about one study here and one study there, how they fit into this bigger picture. But when you put all the pieces of the puzzle on the board at the same time, you get this absolutely striking picture of the effect of consciousness on health.
Oh my goodness. So consciousness, let's break that down. So we've talked about cortisol and the effects of stress on the body and how you can indeed improve your immune system and all sorts of different, you know, through the studies, healings. But what specifically do you mean by the consciousness effect on matter? Consciousness, what is it that you mean?
Well, by consciousness, I mean it's just, you know, your ordinary waking state of being aware, rather than being unconscious or asleep. So just what you have the space of being awake most of the day, and what do you put in there? Do you fill it with negative experiences? Do you fill it with negative thinking? When you wake up in the morning, what do you place in this space of your consciousness. If you meditate, for example, which I strongly advocate you do, you then calm yourself. You get out of that that thinking mode, and you're in this being mode for a while. And from that being mode, suddenly you have access to your inner wisdom. You're in a guidance. You have access to your inner genius. You find that parts of your being start to come on steam that were masked before. So that calm meditative state shifts your awareness, and you begin your day with this inner directed inner directed guidance that can really shape things. And so as you begin to live from that space, from this being space, suddenly you aren't being pushed and pulled by the world around you, all the inputs from. So, you know, maybe there is a guy speeding on the freeway on the way to work. You don't yell and curse at him. You just bless him and say, I'm sorry you're having a bad day, if you get cut off by somebody in traffic. And so your whole predisposition toward the world shifts, and you look for the good in people. You look for the good in your circumstances. You're less triggered by difficult things that happen around you. So I'm a real advocate of using these tools like meditation, like EFT, and the moment you become stressed, unplug yourself. Unplug the stress response. Don't stay stressed a moment longer than necessary, because every moment you do, you're making more cortisol, you're robbing your body of those health benefits, you're shortening your telomeres, having all those bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, you have a long-standing belief in energy psychology and Donna Eden's work and energy medicine. You use actually a lot of those. The routines are in the book, the 5-minute energy routines. Those are
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah, I asked Donna Eden if I could reprint that for the book, because
nice.
it's 5 minutes. It's just these simple exercises. What I like about Eden energy medicine, EFT, and similar kinds of approaches is that they don't require belief. You don't have to believe in any sort of spiritual perspective. You just do them mechanically. Like this, here's an easy one to do. We can do right now with the listeners, actually.
Just, oh, great.
If you sit wherever you are right now, let your tongue sit loosely and relaxed on the floor of your mouth. Normally, in our waking state, our tongue is rigid, often on the roof of our mouth. If you just let your tongue sink to the floor of your mouth, you relax. That tells your body that there's no danger, there's no threat around. So just that one little thing. Now, while your tongue's relaxed, try and get upset. You can't. You cannot get upset. You can't get emotionally triggered while your tongue is relaxed. It's just a simple mechanical thing. It requires no belief. It's a mechanical intervention, but it reliably puts you into a relaxed state. So I've grabbed a number of these that I use in my workshops and trainings that just do this simple mechanical thing, and you get relaxed. Like EFT tapping, same thing. Just do that tapping, and even if you don't believe it'll work, even if you're convinced it won't work, it'll relax. It'll bring you into that relaxed state. So I really think that these simple mechanical methods like that are really useful for us.
So can something like that be used for reversing things like arthritis? I mean, how often do you have to do those types of techniques? And again, they're in the book, and there's a lot more principles of, you know, just 10 basic principles of epigenetic genetic medicine. It's so well done, your book. But how many times, how long, how often does it depend on the severity of the illness? Is it, you know,
yes.
There's a lot of people asking about specific things, but mostly arthritis.
Interesting. Well, you may have spent 10, 20, 30, 50 years building a certain pattern. One of the big discoveries in the last 20 years is neural plasticity. So we know now that our brains are reshaping themselves as we think, feel, and have experiences. And one of the most remarkable discoveries was made by a doctor called Eric Kandel. He won the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2000 for this, for showing that if you take a signal, pass it through a neural bundle, keep on passing it through for an hour, that the number of connections in that bundle can double. In 1 hour, you keep passing that signal through, the number of connections doubles. This is great if you're learning new things, if you're curious, if you're evolving, but if you have a habit of negative thinking, then you've been sending that signal through there, potentially doubling the number of neural connections. You've been reshaping, rewiring your brain for decades. So how to counter-condition that? Now, some things you can counter-condition very quickly. There are 3 randomized controlled trials of EFT for phobias. Phobias of things like rats, snakes, spiders, phobias of water, various other things people are phobic of, claustrophobia, agoraphobia, acrophobia. And what these three controlled trials show is that EFT in one session is usually enough to remove a phobia. So some things like phobias are very easy to resolve quickly. But if you have a long-standing pattern, it can take a while. I talked to one clinical psychologist recently who had low-level anxiety. He's a leader in the EFT field, but it took him a few years of persistence to break that pattern from his childhood of being anxious all the time. So if you have a strongly conditioned response, if you've been thinking these thoughts, having these actions for decades, then maybe you can counter-condition them quickly, but it may take you some time. Things like cravings and addictions, those especially we find can take many sessions sometimes to reverse. So phobias, easy. Anxiety, usually pretty easy. Depression, fairly easy. PTSD, usually 6 to 10 sessions is sufficient, the research shows, to reduce it. But some other things can take a while.
Oh. My God, we're going to talk about the PTSD studies because that was fascinating. But I definitely want to let people know, as they're asking here, that a lot of what we're talking about and is in the offer that Dawson put together. And this is definitely, for sure, not offered anywhere else on the Internet, because Dawson worked really, really closely with us over the last couple of weeks to put together this incredible, I mean, really incredible offer. I'm getting this offer because I want to dive into the science. And I mean, for what I do, this is absolutely essential to get into each one of the pages of your book and make my notes and commit it to memory and the diagrams of the brain and the cortex. I mean, it really, this is brain candy for me. I absolutely love it. And it really is. And so the website is theawareshow.com/church. But in there are 5 of Dawson's hard copy books. And in addition to that are 4 of the MP3 recordings that then talk about your views of the books and what's in the books and so forth and through various interviews. And there is, I mean, there's so much. And then there's even a whole free gift on there that you'll see of some of the techniques that Dawson's talking about. So that's on there as well. I mean, this is really an enormous offer, and it's not anywhere else. If you went to the website, you would see each one of these things. It's over $200 on Dawson's website. But it does have to go away because it's all on Dawson's website. So he's doing this as a very, very, very special offer for you listening, and it's only going to be up for a couple of days, but there's even a little mini manual on there that's free. I mean, there's such a great, huge offer here. I'm excited because I love anyone who breaks down Einstein. For me, it really works to bring it down to my level and to pick out the wisdom and the inspirations from his timeless work is amazing for me. Those types of things I absolutely appreciate. So once again, I'm just telling you guys, this is nowhere else. It is on here for you. If you go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/church, I really, really, really mean this is an incredible offer. I already, like, got the offer. I went onto my own site, got my offer, because I love your material, Dawson. So I'm a big, huge fan. Okay.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I should add, too, that several of those books are anthologies. So we have people like Deepak Chopra, Thich Nhat Hanh, Marianne Williamson, just luminaries who have been part of my anthologies. And several of those books are anthologies and contain chapters by them. So there's just some really remarkable material in there. And again, showing how all of these ideas and these great thinkers fits together.
So back to the concept of the cortisol. So we were in this place where it robs the proteins and then changes the DNA and so forth. When that happens, what does that do to the hormones? Because there's a lot of conversations these days about hormone imbalances, and women don't know what to do when it comes to the hormone replacement therapy and all of that. Can you literally rebuild things like neurotransmitters or DHEA or any of those types of elements in the body using energy psychology?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, but. And the yes is yes, you can, but it does take a while. The lab I use, called Saber Labs, who does my cortisol testing, they say that in their experience, it takes about 5 months to really change your cortisol profile. So you have this curve of what your cortisol production looks like during the day. A good cortisol curve is high at 8 a.m., declining at noon, lower at 4 p.m., low at 8 p.m., and then you're getting drowsy, fall asleep, midnight, 4 a.m., it's really low, and then it has a big spike upward at 8 a.m. That's normal cortisol distribution. People, though, with, say, chronic fatigue, often with PTSD, actually, have really low cortisol in the morning, so that they're drinking 3 cups of coffee to get themselves up at 8 a.m. rather than their cortisol rising. And once you get that cortisol cycle is all out of whack, it does take several months to bring it back into whack. Now, the good thing is that in the randomized controlled trial we did, and I got curious about this, Lisa, because I'd watch people going through these profound psychological changes with EFT. I'd watch them being really upset and nervous and tense when they were discussing a trauma, and then we do EFT with them, and suddenly they're just relaxed, and they're describing the same terrible events, but they're now not triggered into that stress state by those bad memories. So I began to ask myself, well, if that's happening to them externally, and we're doing a little psychological measurement, and we're showing that it's having a beneficial effect on them, what's happening underneath the bonnet, under the hood? What is happening with their stress hormones? So we did this randomized controlled trial, and we had one group who got regular talk therapy, one group who got 1 hour of EFT, and one group that got 1 hour of just resting in the clinic. And we found that the group that had the EFT session got much better results, much lower cortisol. We really dropped their cortisol a lot in that 1 hour EFT session, and we normalized the cortisol levels essentially, rather than them being in that stressful state. So that was a really
wow.
That was published, by the way, in the oldest peer-reviewed psychiatry journal in North America, so a big mainstream journal.
Wow.
That showed that when we have these beneficial psychological changes, it has these beneficial physiological changes, and cortisol is a master hormone. So it's regulating all those other hormones in your body. When your cortisol comes into alignment, when it has a good profile of expression during the course of the day, it tends to then regularize many other hormones and neurotransmitters. So if you focus on these master hormones, master signals, they can then beneficially affect all your other gene expression, hormone expression as well.
It's so interesting, these studies that you've done over the years. I mean, how long have you been studying this and doing these randomized clinical trials?
I've been involved with energy medicine since I was about 15 years old. I became interested in it very, very early, but that was a long time ago, and I only began to really get into the science behind it and do research about 10 years ago, because I realized that I used to joke with David Feinstein and Donna Eden. I said, you know, if we were around like 10,000 years ago, we would have been shamans figuring out how to tell a better story, because storytelling was the way you convey information, you know, back in tribal times.
Right.
Now we're doing studies because that's the currency in which science trades. So I'm not doing it out of any kind of some inherent passion for doing it for its own sake, but it's a way I can get up and talk to a medical conference about cortisol, about the physiological stress response, about brain states, about alpha waves. So we need this language, and we need to be able to couch these sorts of healing techniques in the terminology that mainstream medicine and psychology understands.
That is amazing. I've never heard it said that way. The studies are modernized storytelling. Absolutely.
They are.
That's a great way of saying that. You just blew by something really important, though. At 15, you became interested in energy psychology. What happened then?
It is so funny, Lisa, because I have people who say, oh, you know, 15, I was getting into drugs and rock and roll and blah, blah, blah. And I'm
right.
15, I went into kind of a remote community and was doing energy medicine, and I really was. That was my passion for a long time. And I found myself drawn to it. I also witnessed amazing healings. I watched people. I remember once doing energy medicine on someone who had a nail had gone right through their finger. So a nail gun had misfired, and there was a nail that went in one end of the finger and then stuck out through the middle of the fingernail on the other side. It was just this bad wound. And, you know, doing energy medicine on this finger and watching the wound literally close up in just maybe 5 minutes or so.
Oh, my gosh.
The bleeding stopped. It went to purple to red, and then
wow.
the whole wound just closed up, and there was nothing there. So you watch things like that, or you watch some of these like psychic surgeons in the Philippines, and you think, what on earth is going on here? The idea we have that healing takes a long time, that old age and decay is inevitable, those are just not true. We can do a lot to affect the course of our own life. One of my chapters is called "Your DNA is Not Your Destiny," and we have so much control over our health destiny, our happiness destiny, our spirituality destiny. Yeah.
I'm gonna get on. This excites me. This conversation does. It's interesting to me though that what you're talking about that's done in these modernized storytelling, the science. That you don't need to be a healer, having channeled this from the 12th dimension. You don't need to be hit up on the head and jumped off of an airplane in order to become realized. You actually do this in studies, in randomized studies, over and over and over again clinically. Now, what is it that you're doing? I mean, if you're not channeling it and jumping off of mountaintops to proclaim it, what are you doing? How are you doing these healings?
I think the body has very rapid, inherent self-healing abilities, and I think that they're held back by stress and negative thinking. And I think when you get the stress and negative thinking out of the way, the body responds just like that. It can respond so quickly. So, like, for example, putting people on a biofeedback or a neurofeedback machine, you will find if you give them the right instructions, you can have people, like, I've been having fun lately, getting not just a person into heart coherence or a group of people into heart coherence. I've been playing with having a whole room full of people and getting them all into heart coherence together. And the healing that happens then, when you have this healing intention in the room and everyone is in this physiologically coherent state, when you then put out a healing intention and do EFT or whatever else you're doing, you will see people recovering and just almost miraculous shifts. Like you mentioned, the lady with a frozen shoulder earlier, and you will watch people with, you know, who've had a frozen neck or a frozen shoulder maybe for decades, and suddenly they have a breakthrough and it goes away once we address healing on this level. So I think our bodies are just desiring to heal in every moment, and it's only our negative habits and negative thinking that restrains them and holds them back.
That is so, that is beautifully said. Yes, our bodies do have an innate desire to heal. It's just the thoughts, and those thoughts have got to be pretty powerful. So the modalities and techniques you use basically are a lot of things, like we've talked about on this series. We've gone from EFT, and we've talked about heart coherence, and we've had Dr. Norm Shealy on with the meridian therapy that he uses and the bliss. I mean, it's all of that, right?
Yes. Any of those things can help us, and I encourage people to experiment, try out different ones. Like for some people, meditation is so hard, they just can't do it. So don't torture yourself, find something else. But, you know, learn heart math, which you can do very quickly. Learn EFT, which takes about 2 minutes to do a round of EFT. I also mentioned the tongue thing earlier. That, I mean, what is simpler than relaxing your tongue? Just that sends you into a state of relaxation.
It doesn't get any simpler than that. No, that is very true. Well, there's also, I'll just mention again to the listeners, because I really am just passionate about letting them know that this offer that's on here is unique to this series. It will have to go away because it's on Dawson's site for, you know, I mean, this is his best-selling book is in this package, Genieing Your Genes. So the website to go to is theawareshow.com/church, and this is your toolkit. This is your research, body of research right here. There's 5 books that Dawson has included, 5 hard copy books here of exactly how energy medicine works and the studies and the information in here is huge. It's vast. Plus you can listen to it on the MP3s as well. And there's also short, easy-to-use different techniques that are included in both the book, and there's also a free mini-manual in there as well. So it really is the entire arsenal of tools that Dawson has researched and done clinical studies on in the field of epigenetics and gene expression and energy psychology that create these incredible healings. Now, more than about 10 questions have come in about arthritis. Is arthritis not a genetic thing?
It is. But it's interesting that even conditions like arthritis or cancer, for that matter, that are strongly genetically encoded can still be affected by stress. There was a story in the Daily Mail in England a couple of years back about twin girls, 6 years old. One got leukemia when she was two, the other didn't. Now, again, identical twin sisters, but born with the same genome, same age. Why does one get the strongly genetically inherited disease of leukemia and the other not get it? They traced it back to stress, of course. One twin had been stressed by an early experience, the other hadn't. So arthritis, for example, I worked with people with I'll give you one example. I had a woman come into an EFT workshop to take a workshop with me in Europe, and she was 22 years old, and she had had arthritis when she was 2 years old. Okay, so for 20 years, she was a beautiful young woman, tall, gorgeous, but she looked so sad. She sat down there, and she had pain in her elbow, her knee, and her ankle. And I asked her how bad it was, and she said it's 0 out of 10. So 0, no pain. 10, maximum possible pain. How bad is it? And she said it's a 5 in my elbow, it's an 8 in my knee, and it's a 3 in my ankle. So I worked with her, not on the pain, just on an emotional memory from her childhood, which was her parents fighting. And she had just had a really miserable time with her parents fighting. We worked on that, did EFT on that. And I then said, what number are you? She was a 0 in her elbow. She was a 0 in her ankle, and she was a 3 in her knee. And I said, are you ready to let go of that 3 in your knee and make it a 0? And she said, no, I'm not ready to let go of it yet. But the next morning, she bounded into the classroom, totally pain-free, big grin on her face, whole different energy, and she'd gone to a 0 in her knee as well. So for 20 years, she'd been getting hydrocortisone injections into her joints since she was 2 years old. She suffered from this for 20 years, almost her whole life, and then in one EFT session, targeting not the arthritis, not the pain, but just the childhood memories, the arthritis went away. And there are just many stories like that. If you go to EFTUniverse.com and type in arthritis, you will find dozens of stories of people who have used it on emotional issues and then found their physical body responding. So, yeah, it is amazing how much of our pain, how much of our suffering is our emotional stuff. Now, there may be medical stuff there, too. I'm not saying, you know, you need to work with your doctor, need to work with your therapist, but don't ignore the emotional side because that may be a big piece of the puzzle for you.
Well, I mean, I wanted, the listeners are asking for some type of an example of how to, you know, what you use or how it works. Do you want to use me for an example to do some work on, or should we do some type of a global coherence heart session? Is there something that you can help guide us through so that people can get just an experience of what it is that you're talking about?
Sure. Easy one. Let's do some simple tapping. And I know you have the EFT manual there for download, the mini manual, and that's something that people can click on your site and download right away. On page 64, there's a one-page description of EFT. So it's EFT on a page, on that one page. So
right. I'm so glad you mentioned that because, like, people don't know, All right. So but people have, we've had Carol Look on the call. We've had Nick Ortner on the call. So people kind of might be familiar. I don't see any questions coming in saying, what is EFT? So it's emotional freedom technique using meridian therapy, tapping on acupressure points in the body in order to move and stimulate stuck meridians, and then it's using the talk therapy to get to the emotional issues behind.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see here.
Okay, so download the mini manual if you haven't done it yet from your site. And then I'll assume we know where the points are. And then I'll do one little exercise, too, where if you haven't got the manual, don't know where the points are, you can just do the simple form of tapping, and it'll help, too. So start with finding any kind of discomfort in your body. It could be, you know, shoulder pain, could be a back pain, could be someplace, it could be a tummy ache, could be PMS, anything like that that's bothering you in your body. And if you're totally pain-free, you can pick an emotional event. that I find that in almost every workshop I do, everybody has some kind of pain that bothers them.
Lower back is a good one. If anybody minds doing lower back, that'd be awesome.
Well, so what is your low back pain right now on that same scale from 0 to 10?
It is, I have an injury on my lower right lumbar, and I think it's been at about an 8. It's really been painful. Yeah, it's really been painful. I just went to the chiropractor yesterday to try to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, literally the bottom. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes, right.
Sorry.
So now, if I was doing a prolonged session with you, what I would do is I'd focus on the emotional issues pretty much exclusively. And in fact, let's do that to start with. Okay, so lower left lumbar area?
Lower right.
Lower right lumbar area, okay. And it's an 8 out of 10. So I want you, if you're listening to the call, do the same thing. Tune into any part of your body that feels bad or painful. And give it a number on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is no pain, 10 is call 911, call the ambulance right away. Okay, so somewhere on that spectrum. And then if you have a pen handy, write down your number and write down where in your body it is. Because I want you to write it down because the chances are it's going to go away.
Oh,
the chances are
anything's
going to go away, and people don't even believe it was an 8 before or 4 before, whatever it was. Cause so I have to write it down so they can stare at that number and say, oh my goodness, it really was that high before. So Lisa, now let's have you do one other little step, and that is think of some emotional incident that might be linked to your lower back pain, some kind of emotional event that happened.
The thing that I keep thinking of is my father and brother have both had lower back surgery, and I keep thinking, I'm not going to be victim to my genes. I'm not going to be victim, and I think what I'm doing is I'm creating so much resistance to it that, and I do remember my father being traumatized by his low back surgery, and I remember visiting him in the hospital, and it was the first time I saw my father, who was a surgeon himself, on the other side of the operating room. And it was very, and I was young, to see my, the amount of pain there. I might have just stored so much resistance in my lower back when I saw that happen, and then watched my brother go through it as well, and so this is a definite one of those genetic things that I'm in a lot of resistance to.
How old were you then?
I was probably 14.
Okay. So I'd like to have people on the call do the same exercise. Think of any emotional event that you might associate with your pain. So it could be the time when an injury happened. It could be a person that you think of when you, that you like, maybe it's a doctor, maybe it's a person that caused you some kind of pain. But think of an event that you can associate with this pain, and we'll do some tapping on that. And just tap along with me and Lisa, and you will find that it usually will affect your level of pain as well. So Lisa, let's start by tapping on the karate chop point. And again, if you've downloaded the EFT mini manual from Lisa's site, then you'll find that on page 64. But even if you haven't, the karate chop point is intuitive. It's right where you do a karate chop, that fleshy part of your hand. So tap there with the fingertips of the other hand. And while you're tapping there, and I'll work with your event, Lisa, but the listeners can work with their own events. Say, say this out loud.
Okay.
Even though my father had a surgery.
Even though my father had a surgery.
And was on the other end of the spectrum.
And was on the other end of the spectrum.
And my brother was affected too.
And my brother was affected too.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Are you tapping, Lisa?
Yes.
Good, okay. Okay, so one more time. So that surgery was horrible.
That surgery was horrible.
It laid him low.
It laid him low.
He was such a powerful man.
He was such a powerful man.
He was diminished by the surgery.
Yeah, he can no longer walk from the surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty deep.
Wow. He can no longer walk.
He can no longer walk.
What if I can no longer walk as well? Don't say it, Lisa. Just tap. It's okay. Just tap. I'll talk for you. Just keep tapping. And we'll just feel those feelings. And again, you know, what we're doing here is we're feeling those deep feelings, deep loss, deep worry, deep grief. And it can seem overwhelming, but just keep tapping. And what will happen is that'll tell your body that you're safe, and it'll release that stress response. So tap now on the top of your head a few times.
Okay.
Tap the inside of your eye where your eyebrow meets the bridge of your nose. And just say out loud, losing your power.
Losing your power.
Side of the eye, he lost his power.
He lost his power.
Under the eye, I might lose my power.
I might lose my power.
Under your nose, I accept myself.
I accept myself.
Under your lip, I accept myself.
I accept myself.
Just the way I am.
Just the way I am.
I accept myself just the way I am.
I accept myself just the way I am.
Collarbone point. With the amount of power I have.
With the amount of power I have.
Under your arm, I'll still be me.
What was that?
I will still be me.
I will still be me.
No, still be me. I'll still be me.
I will still be me.
Karate chop point. I will still be the person I am.
I will still be the person I am.
I love and accept that person.
I love and accept that person.
With all of her power.
With all of her power.
Or with none of her power.
Or with none of her power.
Yes, let's accept her.
I fully accept her.
She's precious.
She's precious.
Okay, eyebrow point. I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Side of the eye. Power.
Power.
Under the eye. Gaining power.
Gaining power.
Under the nose. Losing power.
Losing power.
Under the lip. Gaining power.
Gaining power.
Collarbone point. I might lose power.
I might lose power.
Under the arm. I might gain power.
I might gain power.
Karate chop point again. I love and accept myself either way.
I love and accept myself either way.
With more power or less power.
With more power or less power.
Lisa is still Lisa.
Lisa is still Lisa.
And I love her.
And I love her.
Lots.
That famous laugh.
I know you love her lots, so.
Yes, wow.
I know,
that
it's with
was,
you.
I did not expect to hit that, Dawson. Wow.
You never know. When you ask for it, you don't know what will come up. But let's do one more round. Let's go tap the eyebrow point again.
Okay.
So go ahead and tap the points and tell us about your dad again, about seeing him in hospital and how you felt and what the scene looked like. So tap all the points while you're talking.
Okay. So I remember him laying there, and the surgery did not go well. And so he, there was irreparable damage from the particular surgery, and he had to have subsequent surgeries after that to try to regain, but bottom line, wound up with neuropathy and lost feeling in all of his lower extremities below the knee. So, yeah, that took out his power, and had to retire as a surgeon not long after that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you have this
back pain. Such a brilliant man. Such a brilliant scientist. Mm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. So now let's just tap on pain, so tap on the quality chop point and just say, this back pain.
This back pain.
Lower right lumbar region. What number
lower
is it
right
now? Yeah, what number is it now, by the way?
3.
3, okay,
yeah.
Super.
When you really get to the bottom of this, wow.
Yeah, so tap through all the points again and just karate chop point and then
okay.
Eye points, those 3 eye points. Just say,
okay.
In fact, just describe the pain to me. Is it small? Is it large? Is it soft, hard? What color is it?
I mean, yesterday I actually had the doctor order an MRI for me and that he actually thought that there was a blown out disc in my lower back. And so, but you know what? It's interesting because I have fallen on that same hip several times, and I keep going after that area in my body whenever I do any type of an injury. It just seems to have been the weakest point in my body.
Mm.
So if I ever do fall or do anything silly in working out or something like that, it's that area that is the weak point that gets injured. And I really didn't even ever think about it going back to that event. I just thought it was, I don't even know what I thought.
You know, what we find in our studies is that on average, 68% of people's pain goes away when they deal with the emotional aspects of the problem. So more than 2/3 of it goes away. And what's happening is that people have a pain. Like one guy, one of my workshops had a broken leg, and he broke his leg 2 weeks before. And he was on crutches and in a cast. And my skeptical left brain was thinking, oh, it'll never work for this guy because he's, you know, he's been in this accident, he's got a broken bone, recent fracture. But I began tapping with him, and it turned out he'd broken it in a car accident, and it turned out that he had all this negative self-talk going on about, why was I so careless that day? The accident may have been partially my fault. I'm
right.
A klutz. I'm blah. You know, all these voices from his head, from his childhood, and we tapped all those away. And Lisa's pain went down from an 8 to a 2. So the 2 was a broken leg, okay? But the other 6 pain points above that were all the psychological freight, the baggage he loaded on top of the pain, and it was those that were an 8. So, you know, for that 2, he needs medication, he needs good medical care, but for that 6, he needs emotional and spiritual help, and that's where EFT comes in.
You know, I was kind of thinking about that. I was thinking, I don't really want to know if I have a blown-out disc because what am I going to do really do about it? Well, now I have an idea of what I can do about it because little things like ultrasound or, you know, those biofeedback can help with the discs and the pain in general. It's the emotion that is – I was just asking for this yesterday on the chiropractor's table. What's the emotional reason this is happening? Because I've done enough interviews to know that there was something behind it, but I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get to it. Well, this was not supposed to be that interview. We were doing something totally different here, Dawson. I apologize to my listeners.
Life just happens sometimes. You know, there's a doctor called John Sarno who really annoyed the medical establishment by doing a series of studies. And what he did was he would take people who had back pain, and he would give them x-rays, and of course they showed ruptured discs, slipped discs, misaligned vertebrae, and so on, all the things you'd expect, and some of them had nothing at all. They had severe back pain. Then he took normal people who have no back pain whatsoever, never had back pain, and he gave them x-rays and found slipped discs, herniated discs, ruptured discs, out of line of vertebrae, all the same things. So no real difference between them. So, you know, where is this coming from? And a lot of it is psychological.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Of course. I'm still tapping as you're talking, and I'm just, because I really hit a huge picture. But this is amazing work. Amazing work. I love EFT and energy medicine in general. It's thank you so much. I didn't even expect such a huge healing. I was talking about the science and...
You know, let me just tell you where to go with this from this point on. What I would do is I'll do another session with you privately if you'd like to, happily. But what we would then go work on is I'd have you work on the details of that scene. Where did you feel most shocked? What was the most difficult thing for you? Where did you feel the first emotional clenching and shut down? What were your thoughts going on? Your self-talk around, maybe this will be me one day. Maybe it's inevitable. It's happened to my brother as well. So it's happening to your brother, like reinforcing all that negative stuff. And so if you allow all those negative thoughts to keep on propagating themselves year after year, again, that Eric Kandel neuroplasticity thing where you have the same thought going through a neural pathway over and over and over again, you then just totally wire yourself for that. What Joe Dispenza talks about is you have to just break that habit of being yourself, break that habit of doing life the way doing your thinking the way you've been thinking about life, and that's the key to liberating yourself from those old patterns.
Such a huge key, and we've actually even had Joe Dispenza on this series. I mean, you're the perfect culmination of this series because we've talked about this and experienced it, but just to really hit this level of healing and to have all of the science that backs it up. Wow, I'm just taking a deep breath. Thank you so much. I mean, really, for your research and your background and your bringing this information to us, and also for the level of healing that it offers to people, because epigenetics, as this woman said, and I said earlier in the show, we're going to look back on this conversation 20 years from now and say,
yes.
Oh, remember when we were just talking about this and there weren't all of those epigenetic centers around the world and people were thinking they couldn't cure cancer. Remember when? And now we're in that place where it really is, I mean, functional medicine and epigenetics is the future of solving our healthcare problems. It's the future of solving our anger issues in the world, because it gets to these deep emotional issues where the anger comes from. I mean, it gets to such a deep level of, as you say, just a marriage of spirit. It's beautiful. It really, really makes so much sense.
One of the promises, too, that it offers us is right now I've been very involved with the last few years in getting this to veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and also to Vietnam veterans, because the problem of PTSD is a terrible, terrible problem for our society. There are about 500,000 of these veterans have come back from these recent wars with PTSD, and what we've shown in our research is that 6 sessions of EFT is enough to remediate that PTSD in most of the cases.
Six
sessions, yeah. It takes just 6 sessions to. And
so, then,
and so what we can potentially do is we can potentially have all these people who would have had PTSD and suffering all of the consequences of that. Instead, if they go through, get proper help and get EFT sessions, then we might not have this whole generation of young men and women for the next while suffering from this terrible disease. So that's really what I've been focusing on as a social project for the last few years.
Well, then how can we get EFT practitioners to volunteer at every VA in the country? The world?
Yeah, we have we call it the Veteran Stress Project. We have over 300 EFT practitioners who are volunteering right now. So we have a big network of practitioners,
Great.
And we then
Great.
Connect them with veterans. And we've actually got free EFT to over 3,000 veterans and their families so far. So we're on a mission. We want to get into the VA though, and into hospital systems as well. But this is a really exciting application of EFT on a big scale.
Well, there's a lot of listeners that are asked. They ask questions constantly about PTSD and veterans and so forth. There is an amazing video that you have on one of the websites. I can't remember the Stress Project website that
Stress
shows.
Stress Project, yes.
That shows there's a video of a healing that happens to someone who has severe PTSD. That you could actually see the transformation during the course of the video. It's very, very powerful, and it's something that is just what is that website? I don't remember the.
Yes, that is the website of the Veteran Stress Project, and it's just stressproject.org. So if you are a veteran that needs help with PTSD, if you know a veteran, don't let them suffer. We have as I mentioned, about 300 people all over the world who will work with you free of charge, and families too often, because what we found is that about 25% of the spouses of veterans wind up getting what's called transferred PTSD. Living with a person with PTSD is terribly stressful and traumatic for family members, and it really affects them. So we're
Did I mention that my father is a Vietnam War vet?
Oh.
Yeah, he was in the medical unit. Yeah, it really is powerful. Well, I just want to say thank you so much, and to my listeners so much for being so loving and so patient and so willing to be a part of this, you know, of this incredible time in history where we have this information at our fingertips. And Dawson, for you to bring it to the scientific community and to go after these double-blind, randomized clinical studies is so important right now. And I wrote this down as it is, it's modernized storytelling, these studies, because it gives us the ability to pass this information into the medical community and to help people so much. So I, once again, I really encourage listeners to look at what we've put together and what Dawson put together on the website, which is all of these books, these five of Dawson's books, all of these studies and these techniques in the books. And also there's MP3s of recordings around what's in the information. There's a lot more information in the MP3s. And also you can download a whole manual on EFT and so forth that we talked about. So that's at theawareshow.com/church. And I just so appreciate you being on this series and to really put this into a place of making everything real. I love it. A lot of people are wanting to volunteer too for the studies because we have a lot of practitioners listening as well, which is very cool. How do people volunteer for studies, by the way, that you have them going on all the time, right?
Yeah, and if you know, again, for the veteran studies, you can just check in right on the Stress Project website. And then if you are interested in other kinds of research on the EFT website, EFTUniverse.com, you go just go to that the link that says volunteering for EFT, and there are about 15 ways you can volunteer there. You can start an EFT circle in your area. You can, if you are a therapist, you can get involved in various ways. If you're a psychologist, you can sign a petition to try and help us get this into the American Psychological Association. There is all manner of things you can do to help EFT and volunteer there. So again, that's EFTUniverse.com, and then go to the volunteer page, and that'll show you where to connect.
So much. Or someone who just emailed in, she said, I can't wait for the replay. I'm so sending this to a friend who's looking for a pill to fix her hip pain. She won't listen to me, but hopefully she'll listen to Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. No, I love it. I love it. So I, you know, thank you for the healing. That was not expected and very, 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 very helpful. Very helpful for me.
Bless your sweet heart, Lisa.
You're so sweet, and you're so real. Thank you, Dawson, and thank you to my listeners for being with me and for accepting this healing for yourself as well. Go on, take a look at the offer. It does need to go away because we need to put these items back up onto the original site, but you've all been such a wonderful coherence on this call. It really has been great. Thank you again, Dawson. Take care.
All the best.
All right. Bye-bye. And thank you to my listeners. And remember to go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/church. And, I got to mention, next week is Wayne Week. We have Wayne Dyer Week coming up next week to wrap up everything on the series. He's incredible information. He is in his prime. Talk about the use of energy medicine. He's basically healed leukemia in his body. So he talks all about that. So stay tuned next week for Wayne Week. And until next time, I invite you all to stay aware.